Lord Jesus, you are amazing, and you are our good shepherd. You make us not lack. We have everything because of you. It's not physical things we look to, Lord, because they don't give us the kind of abundant peace. They don't give us the kind of abundant life. They don't give us the kind of abundant joy that you speak of in your word, your scriptures, your holy scriptures. We thank you because you have already done the work in us. You've already given us the tools that we need, and we just thank you for that. In your name, we praise you and we lift you up. Let your spirit fill up whoever's listening. Open their eyes to see your heart. In your name we pray, amen. Hello, this is Michael Ryan. Welcome to Knowing Jesus. You can subscribe to the podcast by going to the search query in iTunes and putting Michael Ryan's Booze, B-O-O-S. I just wanted to take some time to talk to you about the significance of Jesus Christ, the supremacy of him. To believe that Jesus Christ died for you, that he took your filth and your sins, and he became the punishment, the much-deserved punishment for your sins on a cross and rose again. To believe that is good. That is how you become saved. In fact, that is how you become born again. But can I let you know what's better, what's fuller? It's to believe and understand the mystery of Christ, the mystery of the gospel, which is Christ in you. And why is that so important for you? Why is it so important that you understand the mystery of the gospel, what Paul talks about in Colossians chapter 1, and he mentions it in Ephesians chapter 3, is because to believe in Jesus Christ and to be saved, and then to simply now label yourself a Christian and go to church and try to do the right thing, it's half entering the walk. And I think that when people have a faith like that, they end up not experiencing the abundant life in Christianity that they thought that they would have. I believe that I'm giving you the answer to why the walk can be so joyless, why it could not have the peace that you may think it should have. I believe that peace and joy is the foundation of this walk. Jesus Christ said that he gives us a peace that the world doesn't give. He said that he spoke the things he spoke to us in John 15, which does speak about this mystery, so that our joy will be full. And what is the mystery? It's Jesus Christ, the Savior, the eternal God, in you. And when he's in you, friends, when he's in you, if he's in you, if you've believed, that's everything. That unlocks everything. It does, because now you don't live your life anymore. He lives your life. What I practically mean by that, it's really simple. It's what he says about entering his yoke. It's laying your own yoke aside and going into his yoke of basically him carrying everything for you and you learning of him. I mean, we only have to fix our eyes on Jesus. That's it. I mean, that's the message of my podcast. And, you know, just that's the message of every podcast I have. It's the conversation that he has with Mark, with Martha in Luke chapter 10, where she's just going around. I think this is a perfect picture of what I'm trying to get across. He's in her house, and he's there, and she's going around trying to serve him. She's doing all these good things, and they're good things, but she was distracted by the most necessary thing. And Mary had the most necessary thing, and that was sitting at his feet and looking up to him. Devotion to him. That's the necessary thing, because it's that action, that behavior, that fixed state, that's that's what ought to characterize your walk of devotion, to sitting at his feet and looking at him and gazing upon him, because he will then do all the other good things that you want to do in your own. All the good Christian things that you attempt to do and are either just striving to make it, or you're not doing it at all and beating yourself up about it, he accomplishes in you simply. The purpose of our walk is to worship Jesus. That's the purpose. I believe that. I mean, maybe some people would disagree, but I believe that Jesus already told us that we don't need to worry or be anxious. We don't need to be anxious about our life. And we don't need to be anxious about our walk, about being better believers or any of that, because he says the same way you'd give your child, if they ask you for a piece of fish, you wouldn't give them a scorpion, or if they ask you for bread, you wouldn't give them a snake. The same way you wouldn't do those things, when you ask the Father, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, he will give that to you. He will give that to you. He's not going to deny that. And I believe Jesus is trying to tell us that it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of Christ. It's the presence of God. That is what makes us to not worry. That is what our strength is. And this has got to be something, if you want to enter into it, and if you really want to appreciate the power of this, and if you really want to experience the fullness of joy, the fullness of peace, you've got to really make this your custom, your habit, your pattern for the day. And I'm not trying to put a burden on you, because the burden's on Jesus. He died for your sins. You're clean. You're cleansed. You're sanctified. You're clean. But shouldn't then he get all the attention? I mean, why should he just get all the attention to save us, but then we spend the rest of our walk trying to do it ourselves and make it about these other things? And you know, Martha had the right idea by trying to serve him, but really giving the attention to God, really giving the glory to God, is simply going at his feet and worshiping him. You honor him by just fixing your eyes on him and trusting him to do everything for you. Really, I mean, that if you look at the Old Testament scriptures when they prophesize about him coming, God talks about putting his Spirit in us, giving us a new heart. It's founded on the idea that we can't, we're unable, we don't measure up. Our sin nature is like our big thorn in our flesh. But it's the grace of God that's sufficient for us. And how do you experience that grace of God? The grace of God isn't something that's relevant for you when you get saved and you're entering into the faith. The grace of God is something that's relevant for you every day, all day. Because all day long you should be aware of your carnal pleasures. All day long you're probably aware of your sinful nature. But it's the grace of God to fill you with his Holy Spirit. It's God's good mercy and gift to give you more of him that allows you to bear the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, righteousness. All the things that we need for living is accomplished by his presence. Salvation is the work of the Lord. Sanctification is the work of the Lord. Don't forget that. And I encourage you really to rethink, if you haven't already, your Christian walk, and ask yourself, is it rooted in allowing Jesus Christ in you to work in you, to do and accomplish all his pleasure? Is it founded in worship and devotion, fixated on Jesus Christ? And can I also share with you the implications of that? It means that many times you're going to be starting your day, or you're going to be coming to the Lord during the day, and you're not going to feel like it. But it's not about your feelings. You know, if it's about waiting to feel good or feel into the Lord or feel spiritual or feel holy to worship him, well, then it's not really worshiping God. It's worshiping yourself. Think about it. Because you get first place then, but Jesus gets first place. If you have a child, don't you help them and take care of them and meet their needs, even if it's in the middle of the night, because they have first place? You don't say, you know what, before I get up and change their diaper in the middle of the night because they just had a really big bowel movement. I think I'm going to go sleep for a couple hours. You don't give yourself first place. You give them first place. Well, how much more do we give our Savior who stopped us from going to an eternity and an infinity of torment, who gave us life, who suffered for us? How much more should you begin, fill, and end your day with worship and devotion to Jesus? And I guarantee that it will pay off. Because if you start out not feeling Jesus or not feeling close to him or not seeing him, you'll end seeing him. And more than that, you'll even end bearing fruit. And I would continue to go to the Lord and attach yourself to him because it's good. Because it's good. He says in John 15, abide in me, remain in me, be attached to me the way a branch is attached to the vine. But what does that look like? We talk about it, but then we don't really get into the practical. I'm all about the practical. I think we have enough theology, enough philosophy, enough just good themes. What about practical Christian living? And I'm telling you, practical Christian living is devotion to Jesus. It's worshiping Jesus. It's begging God, seeking for God, asking God, knocking on the door for him to fill you with his Holy Spirit. And he does it. He will meet you. It's bringing your sinfulness, bringing your sin nature, bringing all your stuff to the Lord and just asking him to fill you. I mean, if you really want to have a testimony as a believer, if you really want to be able to demonstrate the power of God, because, you know, we always wait for those people with the amazing devotional, amazing, you know, testimonies of being saved and how God changed their life and now they're, you know, they're a different person. But you can have that testimony every day. If you really want to have a testimony of the Lord, when you're feeling your most down, your most disconnected, your most sinful, your most just ashamed and just beaten up, worship the Lord. When you wake up in the morning and you're feeling all types of nonsense, worship the Lord. And I guarantee you'll have a testimony. You won't be able to contain speaking about him, because here's what he's going to do. I know he's going to do it in you. What he'll do is he'll show up. He inhabits, he dwells in the praises of his people. If you praise the Lord, if praising the Lord when you don't feel like it, praising the Lord when everything around you is just it's just dull and black, that's when you really get to see his goodness. That's when you really get to see the power of God. And I'm encouraging you, if you want a testimony of Jesus Christ, if you really want an abundant life, if you really want the fullness of peace and joy and the fruit of the Lord, it's accepting the fact that you can't, you're unable, you are weak. It's okay. And just worshiping the Lord, just sitting down at his feet, realizing that all you're serving amounts to nothing. It amounts to nothing, but devotion to him and him working in you, that's everything. That's everything. You know, I encourage you, open up the scriptures, see Jesus Christ, learn of him. Let the scriptures be the tool to strengthen your worship and devotion and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Please, don't make scripture reading a task. Don't make it a chore. Don't make going to church and doing Christian things part of what you should quote-unquote do. Make worship that. Make fixing your eyes on Jesus. And then he will produce all the fruit in you. He'll even, while you're worshiping, with all your stuff in your heart, he'll even authenticate your worshiping. You know, I mean, Michael, you really seem to keep talking about the same thing. Well, because it's always life at the same time, at least to me it is, that Jesus Christ is worthy and he is everything. And I believe that he wants people to be just intoxicated with him and seeing only him. You know, when my child, my little daughter, my 7-month, when she's hungry, she doesn't try to feed herself. She lifts up her arms. When she's sad, when she falls down and she's hurt, she doesn't try to fix herself. She lifts up her arm. You know, when she soiled herself, she lifts up her arms. She doesn't say, you know what, I'm not going to go to my father or my mother until I get myself right. No, she lifts up her arms. And that's what I'm saying to you. Don't try to be right to lift up your arms and worship the Lord. Just lift up your arms and worship the Lord, and He will bless you. He will pick you up and carry you. His presence will fill you up, and then you will start to say and really believe the Lord is good. You'll have a reason to tell someone to praise the Lord. You'll understand that the Lord is living. How can you see that the Lord is living unless you're able to watch Him change you throughout your day? And that's what I'm saying. He's there on standby for you right now, waiting for you to go put your head down and say, Lord, I praise you. I praise you for what you've done for me. Give me things to praise you about. I worship you. Teach me. And climb me to your scriptures so that I can learn of you, Jesus Christ, and you only. Because the scriptures testify of you. I just bless you for the cross. Bless your name for dying for me and then coming back and living in me, God. Lord, make me aware of your presence in me. Those kind of things. And just praising him. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Trying to look like God is noble, but worshiping God, that's better. You know, I mean, trying to look like God is a good task. It's a good chore, but just sitting at his feet and worshiping him, that's better, because then you allow him to just look like himself. He does it. Then you allow him to do the work in you. And then all the good stuff falls upon you, all the fruit that you want, everything. It's just there. It's abundant life. And, you know, I just want you to be filled with the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He and only He is necessary. You don't need all this other stuff. All you need is the Spirit of Jesus working in you. That's all you need. And you ask that. You get that by asking God to fill you with Him and worshiping and devoting. If your life really all day should be about prayer and devotion, not to get saved, but to really experience being saved. Amen. I'm not talking about works to get saved. We're already saved, but salvation's a free gift. It's not cheap, but it's free. I'm talking about living an abundant life. If you want to live abundant life, keep your antennas connected to the Lord. And it's called devotion. It's called asking to be filled. Amen. So, Lord, I lift you up and I worship you. And I pray that anyone listening would understand that you desire to be sought after all day. All day. That to believe in you costs nothing, but to follow you costs everything. And that's what you really desire, is people who will worship you in spirit and truth. And Lord, I pray that whoever's listening would have the desire burning in them, because you live in them, if they've believed in the gospel, to go and worship you and to stop trying and to just worship and to allow you just to lift up their arms, Jesus. You make such a big deal about us being like kids. Well, Lord, let us be like children, not trying to do it ourselves, but trusting in your presence in us to do everything and give us all the fruit we need in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Lord, thank you for the abundant life that all day long I have unlimited access. We have unlimited access to your fruit. We can call upon you at any time, and you will give us all the resources that we need all day long if we just would seek you and ask. Lord, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for you, and I praise your name. And your name, you get all the glory. Amen. Friends, you weren't left alone. You weren't saved so you can be left as orphans to figure out this walk on your own. He is available right now for you to go to and to fill you with his presence and do all the work. All the work. Please go to him. Okay? Please. Bye-bye.